Fitting in the baptism of Christ Sunday that we read our portion from the gospel today, Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. So hear now the record of the baptism of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me." But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. I've probably shared with you the last couple of years when we looked at this text that one of my favorite scenes in a movie comes from the movie, "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" And it is the baptismal scene where they're all coming down for the river. And after a long discussion, Delmar calls out to Ulysses, "Come on in, boys, the water's fine." But I have a question for you today. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? When we were young, we heard that a lot, right? I don't know what your answer was when you were young. I suspect, you know, in my day when you asked us, it would have been a fireman or a policeman. If you were one of the girls in our house, you might have said dancer or princess or something along those lines. I've asked young people that question. I've gotten a variety of responses. Never once have I heard the answer, "I want to be a servant." Never heard anybody say that. There was that commercial that was on, a couple of years ago. It was one of those employment ad agencies, and it had a guy going, I aspire to middle management. Said no one ever. If you go do a Google search on hot new jobs, I can promise you, servant is not going to be one of those new careers that you see. And yet I would suggest to you that servanthood is at the essence of our faith. Indeed, God chose the image of a servant to describe the one that God would send, who would give his life on behalf of the world. And Isaiah has a whole lot to say to us about the servant of the Lord, the Messiah. But I think in our text today, we also gain insight into the idea of servanthood. Only two of the gospel narratives relate to us the birth narrative of Jesus, but every gospel has something to say about the baptism of Jesus, some a whole lot more than the other. The one that kind of just passes right on by would be the Gospel of John. Only two of the gospels really go into much detail on these events. It speaks to us of the importance of the baptism of Jesus. The last time we saw Jesus would have been 18 years ago in the temple at the age of 12. Now, by most accounts, he's 30, so we've got 18 years. Jesus has been back home. He's been working in Joseph's shop. He's been living an ordinary, uneventful life, working with his hands and submitting himself to learning a trade, submitting himself to the demands of a father and customers and all that goes on with all of that. That's interesting. There's a lot of attempts to explain those 18 years. There's a lot of rather fanciful stories. Did you know that the scribes and the Pharisees, in an attempt to discredit Jesus, described those 18 years in the family of Jesus as a bunch of ne'er-do-wells who just made their way from place to place, lived hand to mouth, and did odd jobs and whatever they could find. On the other hand, a lot of the apocryphal books have some rather fanciful stories about Jesus' youth and miracles that he was supposed to have performed. Whatever we make of those 18 years, here's what strikes me. We get to this day. We get to this day, and Jesus goes to the carpenter's shop. He hangs a closed sign on the door, and he goes out to find John, his cousin, to be baptized by him in the wilderness, because Jesus knows that today is the day that he must begin to be about his Father's business. So he makes his way out to the wilderness. He finds John. John smells of camel hair and locusts and honey and all of that. And Jesus gets in line to be baptized by John. He gets in line with you and me. He gets in line with all the rest of the sinners that are there. And he is not one of us, and yet he is. And he comes to John. And only Matthew's gospel unfolds for us the dialogue that took place between those two that day. Jesus wants to be baptized. He's eager to be baptized. But John, he knows who his cousin is. He's obviously hesitant. He's obviously hesitant. John said, No. I need to be baptized by you. And yet, you come to me? Jesus said, let it be so now, for it's proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. First time we have words of Jesus that we find in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew's gospel, it is to say that he needs to be baptized. But why? Why? We know the significance of our baptisms for us. At least I hope you do. By the way, I always like to take this survey. How many of you were baptized as infants? Raise your hand. Large percent. How many of you were baptized as adults? How many of you were baptized in the Presbyterian Church? Now look around. Not a whole lot. Obviously, the rest of you were baptized in another church, right? Be it Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or Episcopalian or whatever church that might have been. I was reminded when we moved that I found my baptismal certificate. I was just a little kid. I wasn't an infant, but I was 3 years old. Some of you can remember when you were 3 years old. I don't have a clue. But I found my baptismal certificate, and I was baptized at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Redondo Beach, California. And I still remember that church. I still remember the pastor who was there at that time. Whatever we make of our baptisms, and they symbolize, I think, for us many, many, many different things. For Jesus, the baptism was not a washing from sin. For Jesus, the baptism was a recognition of God's ownership of his life. It was a recognition of his servanthood. It was a recognition that he was beginning a new chapter in his life. The phrase that jumped out to me as I was preparing this week was the phrase that he did it to fulfill all righteousness. So what did he mean by that? Was he a sinner needing to be washed in the righteousness of God? No. That can't be. Righteousness is often a word that deals with our character. It has relevance and reference to a life or a lifestyle that's committed to live in conformity to justice and law or morality as given by God. It's a lifestyle that matches the words of the prophets of old, particularly Micah when he said, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God?" I think of all the things that phrase "to fulfill all righteousness" means, I think it's a statement that indicates that for Jesus, this was a public statement of his willing submission to God in his life. This was a public statement of what he had been doing for those first 30 years, but now what he would be doing in front for all to see, living out servanthood, what it means to be a servant of the living God. And so John baptizes Jesus that day. And as Jesus comes up out of the water, the Spirit, like a dove, comes and lands. A dove, not because of judgment, but because of the hope that is wrapped up in the person of Jesus. And that voice came from the heavens. "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." This morning in a little bit, I'm going to invite you to come if you want and remember your baptism. Every year when we do this, I think of a friend by the name of Tom. His last name was Tom Collins. He was an alcoholic. Hard not to be with a name like Tom Collins. When I met Tom, he'd been sober for, by that time, probably 20 years. Tom and I sat around coffee at a table at a local diner most mornings. I called it the Liars Club because there wasn't a whole lot of truth told around that table. And the stories were fanciful, and we took those stories. I threatened to give all the stories a number so that we could save a little bit of time because they told the same stories every day. And sure enough, you'd laugh, and there we would go. Tom eventually started coming to church. Tom came to the 8:30 service, the early service. Tom sat dead back where I could see him in the last row because he got there early. And if you want the back row, you got to come early. And Tom knew that, so he didn't want anybody to get a seat. So he'd get there early, save a couple of seats for some friends, and there he would be. And it was Baptism of Christ Sunday. And I invited people to come forward and put their hands in the water and remember their baptism. And as each one came forward, I would say something to them, often the words that Jesus heard. "You are God's beloved child. With you, he is well pleased." And Tom, this old, crusty, recovered alcoholic, looked at me with tears coming down his cheeks, and he said, "I hope so." To which I said, "By grace, Tom, I know so. You, my friend, are God's loved child. The wonder of grace. The wonder of grace is that we hear those words with you. I am well pleased. Jesus was baptized, comes out of the water, the Spirit. They hear those words thundering from heaven. And from that point on, everything that Jesus did was a response and a living out of God's claim on his life, a living out of servanthood. If you fast forward and you come to the end of Jesus' life in Matthew 21, Jesus was asked this by the leaders of the temple with a challenging question. By what authority are you doing these things, Jesus? And Jesus answered, was the baptism of John from heaven or not? He refers back to his baptism. And basically Jesus is saying to us, I am doing all of these things because I'm living out the Father's will in my life. I'm living out servanthood. I'm recognizing his ownership of my life. I am here that I might redeem my people from their sins. This is why I do what I do. And so Jesus does not die of old age. We know the story. He dies because he's pursuing the will of the Father. And he came to lay down his life as a ransom for sin. And on the cross he cries out, "It is finished. It is finished." The work of redemption, yes, it was finished. But also the sense that Jesus had been living out his baptism for all those years. It is finished. Baptism's not a beginning. Or not just a beginning, I should say. Baptism is the beginning of a life. It's the beginning of a life. Every day you and I have decisions to make. Every day you and I have the opportunity. Who are we going to serve and who are we going to live for? Martin Luther, the old reformer, was often seen when he was struggling with sin, and he would just put his hand to his forehead and said, "But I am baptized. But I am baptized." As people who bear the name of Christian, God calls us to live out our baptisms each day of our lives, caring for the needy, carrying the good news of the gospel. We too have been baptized to a mission of welcoming and redeeming. And it's in the waters of baptism that we're reminded of God's call to us. What did it mean when you were baptized? Most of us don't remember that day. But my friends, it is because of our baptisms and the inward grace that baptism signifies that the children of God speak truth in a world that desperately needs to hear truth. It is because of the grace of God that meets us in our baptisms that the church, that the Christian gives in a world that takes. It's because of the grace of God in our lives that we love in a world that lost, that you and I are called to make peace in a world that fights, that we serve in a world that wants to be served, that we pray in a world that wants to be entertained, and that we take chances in a world that worships safety. So today the invitation in a moment will be to make your way forward if you want. To put your hand in the font and remember. I always invite you, there's pebbles in there if you want. Take one out, put it in your pocket. Put it in your pocket. And then every time you put your hand in your pocket and you feel that pebble, remember your baptism. Remember God's ownership of your life. Let us stand and affirm our faith. This morning, we're going to use the words of the brief statement of faith. Christian, what is it that you believe? In life and in death, we belong to God through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. We trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God, Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.